Jesus is the light to the nations. And what a joy it's been this December to share with you a video from one of our many impact partners and just share how they do Christmas where they are. This is a current Christian church in Papamoa, New Zealand, and I've been there twice, and I'm going back in February, and looking forward to seeing my friends there. This is a new church. Basically, they're going to have their 10th anniversary next year, but still feels really, really new. We were instrumental in starting that church when ICOM, the International Conference on Missions, came to Richmond in 2015. All the churches of Virginia contributed to a fund, and we started 7 churches around the world. One of them was in Papamoa, New Zealand. And so they're doing a great job growing the church in a really incredibly dark, dark culture, as they referred to in the video today. Although a Western culture, although they know what a Christian is, there are very few churches and very little emphasis on faith, Christian faith. In fact, a tremendous amount of not violence, but antagonism toward the church and people of faith. So they're living in a really difficult situation. But as you can see, they're doing it with joy, and they're spreading the message of Christ. And so next March, or the first Sunday in March, they're going to ordain their very first elders, and I'm really looking forward to being there for that ceremony. I'll be preaching that day, which I'm excited about, and also doing some other leadership things while we're there, and I can't wait. So thank you for your prayers and your support of our friends. Michael and Rosalind Trusty are doing a great job. Sam, the youth minister, is doing a great job showing off his bicep, you know, his guns today. You saw that a lot, didn't you? Toby, you know, he's a scrawny little fellow, though, isn't he? He's a scrawny little fellow, but yeah, anyway. What I'm really excited about is that our friends Diego and Claudia Silva and their beautiful children, remember when they were with us for a while? You may not have ever met them, but I hope you did. They worshiped with us for a while. They served with us for a while. They knew very little English. Diego knew no English, and yet he was the best greeter we had in our church, embracing and welcoming everybody who walked in the doors of this church. Well, their visas ran out. They went back to Brazil. They were not allowed to come back to the United States. And as the saying goes, when one door closes, another one opens, and a door opened for them to go to New Zealand and serve with the trustees. So I can't wait in February to see our friends, the Silvas, and I will give them a big hug. And he'll give me a big hug that'll probably kill me. But I'll give him a big hug from all of you. I just so much look forward to seeing our friends. Our friends are shining the light of Jesus around the world. You know, before I get into my thoughts today, just a couple of quick announcements. You know, just in terms of things, I love this season, but sometimes we can get so busy with all the stuff. We need to make sure we focus on the right things. Tonight at 6 o'clock in this room, there is a quiet winter's night, just a concert of good Christmas music from some of our favorite musicians. And if you're in all of your busyness, you have some time tonight, come up here at 6 o'clock and you'll be glad that you did. Tuesday night is, we have two Christmas Eve services, one at 3 o'clock in the sanctuary and one at 5 o'clock in here. And so we would love to have you as a part of them. All these points, aren't they beautiful? They were all given in memory or honor of someone. If you gave one of those, please take it with you today. If you did not give one of those, don't take one with you today. But if you gave one, no. All the names, honors, and memories are on a pamphlet at the Welcome Center. So thank you for making our services so beautiful here on Christmas Sunday. But make sure you take yours with you, because if you don't, and we come back in the office 2 Mondays from now, they'll all be dead. So please take yours with you today. All right. So I want you're there at Papamoa Beach. You drive up a couple hours to Auckland to hop a plane. I want you to fly 5,000 miles northwest to Osaka, Japan. All right, everybody up in Osaka now. Osaka, Japan has a Universal Studios theme park. One of the Universal's many theme parks is there in Osaka, and that theme park every year does its best to break its own world record for the most Christmas lights on a single tree. At last count, the Guinness World Book of Records reports that the illuminated giant tree has over 612,000 lights on it. It is an amazing scene of glorious holiday light. I'd love to go there and see that. I can't even imagine. We love our Christmas lights, don't we? We love them. All the lights you see, whether it's on a Christmas tree or candles in the window or all the crazy lights that people put on their houses or in their yards, all of those lights point back to the dawn of the first Christmas light. In his gospel prologue, the Apostle John writes about this light. John has no birth narrative like with mangers or shepherds or magi or any of that stuff. John, in his introduction to Jesus' life, gets a little more philosophical, maybe even call it a little more theological, as he focuses his introduction to Jesus on light. He writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." That light appears, becomes flesh, as John says. That light appears in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. On social media over the holidays, I like it when folks put, you know, opinion polls. I like a good opinion poll. And lots of social media will have, you know, folks polling their friends, their connections on social media on just interesting holiday topics. And I always like to, you know, always like to click my favorite or write in whatever. What's your favorite Christmas snack? You know, I love that one, of course. Who plays the best Santa Claus in the movies? What's the best Christmas TV special of all time? One here more recently in the last couple of years that shows up every year, and that is Die Hard a Christmas movie or not? That shows up a lot and causes some pretty big fights. So do you believe if you believe Die Hard is a Christmas movie, raise your hand. All right, let's find where all the weird people are. Okay, there they are. If Die Hard is not a Christmas movie, raise your hand. All right, okay, that's fine. If you think that's the dumbest poll you ever heard of, raise your two hands. There you go. Yeah, that's pretty crazy. Who knows? Whatever. I don't think it was intended to be, but we'll talk about that more in a little while. But I don't think it was intended to be. But anyway, I'm always pleased when the rest of the world agrees with me on the best Christmas TV special of all time, and that is, of course, A Charlie Brown Christmas. And you had at the beginning of our service today, Linus providing the Christmas story for us. Did you notice? Have you noticed before? I've noticed that a lot of people are nodding in the other services, so I thought I was some great, I noticed things. But did you notice that when he actually starts quoting the angels, he drops his blanket? Have you ever noticed that before? He drops his blanket, teaching the world subtly through cartoon who his real security is found in, and that's Jesus Christ. What a powerful, powerful little video. And we've read that account every Sunday this month, and we thought we'd have a little fun today and let Linus read it for us. This month, this season of Advent, we have focused on the light that is Jesus, and how the angel of the Lord that Linus quotes describes the light of Jesus to the shepherds. The angel's message announces that the light of Jesus will accomplish four great missions. The light will erase fear. Do not be afraid. The light will cause great joy. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. The light will deliver salvation. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. And the light will bring peace. Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom His favor rests. We've talked about the first three of those this month, so peace is what we're going to talk about today. Now, next Sunday is Unity Sunday. We did this last year to a great response. All four of our worship services are going to gather at one time next Sunday at 10 o'clock. We thought for the last Sunday of the year, what a great Sunday to gather everyone together and just have worship together. We're calling that Unity Sunday. We're going to have more of them in 2025, but we're going to end the year all together worshiping together in this room. And so we're going to still refer to this passage next week because there's one more message we want to take with us into the next year. But today, on Christmas Sunday, the Sunday before Christmas, we're going to talk about peace. The nations of the world need peace. Depending on what website you reference, there are almost 60 different conflicts raging around the world today. Some of those we hear about all the time, the war in the Middle East, war in Ukraine, and others we never ever really hear about. The little country of Myanmar has been in conflict since the 1940s. Over 18,000 casualties in Myanmar this year. We read of the increase in violence in our own country and in countries around the world. The psalmist writes that the wicked, quote, clothe themselves in violence. There's no interest in peace. There's no interest in the absence of war. There's no interest in the absence of conflict. There's no interest in the absence of violence. The nations of the world need peace. But you know what? We need peace too, right? Whether it's conflict at work or conflict at school, conflict in our homes, maybe not you, but many people in this room and lots of people who are not in this room face conflict every day, and they desperately want peace. And of course, there's conflict within ourselves. We talked on the first Sunday of Advent about fear. There is no, I'm not some, psychological, nerd or something like that, but it seems pretty obvious to me that where fear focuses on things that could happen, we suffer from a lack of peace in situations that are happening. Anxiety, worry, doubt, hurt, turmoil. Again, many people in this room, many people outside this room, desperately need and want peace. Over 2,700 years ago, the prophet Isaiah records that the coming Messiah, the special deliverer straight from the throne of eternity, that Messiah would be a wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and Prince of what? Peace. Jesus came to this earth to usher in peace. Now, the word peace itself appears in the English translations of the Bible over 250 times. It is a major theme from Genesis all the way to Revelation. Over four Gospels, Jesus uses the word at least 20 times. Everything, again, ranging from blessed are the peacemakers in the Sermon on the Mount to standing in the midst of his disciples after his resurrection, looking them in the eyes and saying, peace be with you. This is the Greek word Irene, from which we get the beautiful name Irene. For the people of Jesus' day, it is the Greek word that most closely approximates the Jewish blessing of shalom. You ever heard that before? Shalom. Not only is it the absence of conflict, but it's a state of tranquility, harmony, and well-being. We want that peace. We need that peace. That peace that comes from the light to the nations, the peace that comes from Jesus. It is a special peace indeed. You know, peace can be brokered between two warring nations. They could go to the bargaining table today, sign a bunch of papers, shake hands, and there'll be peace. And then war can break out again tomorrow. Peace can actually occur on Capitol Hill. Can you imagine? After all that was very unpeaceful this week on Capitol Hill, it can occur. I actually went back and looked at the C-SPAN video. That's how much a nerd I actually am. I went back and looked at the C-SPAN video this week. All the members of Congress, senators and House of Representatives, every single one of them stood on the steps of the Capitol on the evening of 9/11 and sang, God bless America. But within days, back to the same rancor and bitterness. The peace we seek is something better, something enduring, and something special. We know true peace has a divine origin. We have to look in the right place if we want peace. True peace, true peace on any level, global or personal, is only possible through Jesus. I'm going to say that again because I should have put it on the outline today. Peace on any level, global or personal, is only possible through Jesus. Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Now, I can't speak to world leaders today, but I can speak to us. And we will never know personal peace if we're looking in the wrong places. The world looks in all the wrong places for peace. Places like mysticism and alcohol and drugs and control and avoidance and endless distractions that somehow we think is going to create peace but never does. True peace comes from Jesus. Focusing on Him, embracing His ways, studying His words, peace is found in the Prince of Peace. Several news organizations reported here in the last couple of weeks something I think was pretty awesome. And that is that the book, the Bible, sales of the Bible actually increased 22% in 2024. I can't even fathom that. That's a huge increase in Bible sales in 1 year. 22% sale increase over last year. That's awesome. That's a good thing. One of the greatest gifts you can give someone for Christmas is a Bible. One that, if they don't have one, or if they have one that's just an older language that maybe they don't understand and they can't get their own, you know, when you give them a modern translation of the Bible, you're giving them the greatest, you know, you still got, what, 3 days, 2 days, whatever, I don't know how you got, go get them a Bible. You can do that. One of the greatest Christmas gifts you can give yourself is a Bible. One that you can read and one that you will read, because it's not just simply enough to own one. You have to read it. You have to learn it, and you have to live it. In these pages are words that point to Jesus, the divine author, the Prince of Peace. It's in these pages that we get in touch with Jesus. The special kind of peace we're looking for, true peace, is harbored in the heart. We might think that peace is a head thing. You know, if I just get my head straight, I'll finally have peace. Or it's an emotional thing. You know what? I just need to calm down, get a hold of myself, then I'll have peace. No, the Bible says that peace is a heart thing. When the Bible talks about the heart, it's talking about the very seat of our being. It's the metaphorical connection point between us and the eternal. Ecclesiastes says that God has set eternity in the heart of every person. So peace is a heart thing. It's a connect to God thing. Paul says in Colossians, he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. You know, there are a lot of things that are vying to rule our hearts. And some of those things are good things. I mean, it's Christmas time. You know, gifts and packages and relationships and success and hobbies and happiness. Nothing wrong with any of those things. But we need to choose, and it is a choice, to make Christ, the peace of Christ, the top of the heap, the most important thing in our hearts. If you listen to pop stations over the holiday season, I listen to all of them. I listen to, you know, the sacred music, the secular music, all that. I love Christmas music. We all love Christmas music. I listen to all kinds of different stations, and they play all kinds of Christmas music, you know, Bing Crosby and Gene Autry. I kind of like where I'm not sure Die Hard was made intending to be a Christmas movie. I think sometimes there are some songs that were not intended to be Christmas songs that show up during the Christmas season. If you just throw the word Christmas in it, they'll put it on during this season. And I see that happening in George Michael's Last Christmas. You know what I'm talking about? Last Christmas. I'm not going to sing it for you. That falls in this category. Last Christmas I gave you my heart, but the very next day you gave it away. This year, to save me from tears, I'll give it to someone special. Yes, George, give it to Jesus. Give it to Jesus if you want to give it to someone special. He has called us to peace. He wants us to have peace. If we're letting Him have the rule of our hearts in all things, we will have peace. Maybe the world around us is not. Maybe circumstances around us are not very peaceful. But we will have that heart-centered peace, that tranquility, that harmony, that well-being that comes from being in God's care. True peace defies all logic. It just doesn't make sense to the rest of the world. And one of the great reminders of this from Scripture, Paul writes his friends, and he writes his friends from prison, which blows my mind. And he says to them, from prison, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, defies all logic, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It defies all logic. But Jesus has always defied logic. He leaves 99 sheep to go find the lost one. He embraces a son who squandered all of his money and then comes home. He washes feet. He came to earth as a baby to live like us. He lived a sinless life, and yet he died for sinners. He is the king of defying logic, and his peace in your life will defy all earthly expectations. Jesus is the light to the nations. I want to read for you a letter I received this week, a very short letter I received this week from a man named Jeff King. Jeff is the president of International Christian Concern, which is one of these organizations that monitors the persecution of Christians around the world. And to, and people who follow him on his website and so forth, he wrote this short little letter. Jesus is the light to the nation. Remember that. He said, "Dear friend, as 2024 comes to a close, the world feels darker than ever. Wars rage, divisions deepen, and for many, Christmas only magnifies the ache of isolation and the yearning for meaning. For over 70 years, the government of North Korea has tried to destroy Christianity, imprisoning or killing millions of Christians. And yet in just a few days, Christians there will secretly gather at great risk to honor Jesus. They draw warmth, strength, and courage from his spirit. They honor a king like no other, born into poverty without power or possessions. He never wrote a book or commanded an army, and yet his life reshaped history and is still transforming the world today, one heart at a time. What compels believers to gather and worship at the risk of their own lives? It's the gift he left behind and his spirit that warms their souls. It fills the deepest ache of the human heart. And it's a light that cannot be extinguished, a current that can't be turned off, no matter how dark the world becomes. This Christmas, the underground church reminds us of the true meaning of the season. And like the shepherds and kings who knelt in awe at Christ's birth, the persecuted will risk everything to gather and honor the only one who offers life and light in the dark. That light shines out in our own darkness as well and draws us. Follow his light, and you will find him waiting. Merry Christmas, Jeff King." Jesus is the light to the nations. Don't be afraid. Relish the joy. Welcome salvation. And embrace peace. There are lots of Christmas songs, a lot of Christmas carols that emphasize the word peace. When you walk, I don't know if they did it this year or not, I haven't been to Christmastown yet, but if you walk across the bridge, it used to be when you walk across the bridge from Germany to Italy, "Let There Be Peace on Earth" would be playing over the loudspeakers. "It came upon a midnight clear," that glorious song of old, "from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men." "I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled." And then my favorite of all, which you'll sing with me. "Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild. Sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace." Father, it's heavenly peace. It's not peace this world can broker or accomplish or forge or fake it. It's eternal, Jesus, heavenly peace. And for those of us, Lord, who've embraced that peace, may that peace shine in our lives, because the people around us need to see that peace. And for those of us in the room today, Lord, who are struggling for that peace, may you grant that to them today. May they turn over all of their anxieties and worries and fears and doubts, all those things to you today, so that they can have peace. Sweet heavenly peace. Thank you, Lord, for that great, indescribable, totally defined logic gift of Jesus. We pray all things in the name of the Prince of Peace. Amen. Every service we have here at Fairmount ends with a time of reflection, a time of decision, a time of action, a time of commitment, and today is no different. And today, if you are inside Christ, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, then you will experience that peace if you will allow Him, if you will place that peace at the top of the heap of all the stuff vying for your attention. He will give you that peace. If you're outside of Christ, and we have folks with us that are, who have not yet accepted that gift of peace, who have not yet had their sins washed away, who have not yet said, I want to follow the Prince of Peace with my life. And then today is the day to do that. The best decision you'll make today, the best decision you'll make this year, the best decision you'll make in your life is to follow the Prince of Peace. And I would love to talk with you before you leave here today. I've already talked with a couple people today about that most important decision that I pray that you will make today. Our praise folks are going to lead us in worship. Let's stand. Let's sing.